Sarva Mangala Mangale Shive Sarvat Satike Sharanye Trayambake Gauri Narayani Namostute. Sarva Mangala Mangale Shive Sarvat Satike Sharanye Trayambake Gauri Narayani Namostute. Sarva Mangala Mangalaye Shive Sarvat Satike Sharanye Trayambake Gauri Narayani Namostute. Sarva Mangala Mangalaye Shive Sarvat Satike Sharanye Trayambake Gauri Narayani Namostute. Sarva Mangala Mangalaye Shive Sarvat Satike Sharanye Trayambake Gauri Narayani Namostute. Sarva Mangala Mangalaye Shive Sarvat Satike Sharanye Trayambake Gauri Narayani Namostute. Sarva Mangala Mangalaye Shive Sarvat Satike Sharanye Trayambake Gauri Narayani Namostute. Sarva Mangala Mangalaye Shive Sarvat Satike Sharanye Trayambake Gauri Narayani Namostute.
Primo, you remember when you used to sit with Maharaji and you would sing to Maharaji, chant something really lovely, and everybody would be in this very ethereal, meditative kind of energy, and Maharaji, even before you were done, he'd say, do you know anything about, you know a Durga one? You know one with Durga?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do that.
Now Krishna.
Now Krishna, yeah.
I was crying.
And everybody popped out of their mood.
Oh yeah.
Say it again, Prema.
Was it like that now? Like lingering, like
No. If it lingers, it's fine. Maharaji just cut it in half.
Yeah.
Oh, another one? No one about Durga now, Krishna. Oh, gosh.
Oh, yeah.
He loved it. This was Lakshmi mantra.
Yeah, it is also in the Kali mantra. It's the first two sentences in the Kali mantra.
The Kali mantra?
Yeah.
Is this Kali mantra?
No, it's called Devi mantra, Durga mantra. Yeah.
Yeah, Durga mantra, except for it always ends with Narayani Namostute, which is Lakshmi.
Yeah.
Okay, well, there we go. It's beautiful regard.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Now I get to the Sangha. Om Shri Satche Maha Prabhu Ki Jai, Paramatma Ki Jai, Guru Dev Bhagavan Ki Jai, Satcha Sangha Ki Jai. Victory to all. Well, I didn't really bring a topic to satsang. What has crossed my awareness, or awareness, not awareness belongs to me, but I have the ability to focus awareness, is that particularly for you folks, if you really want the world to be different, and I've said it many times, but maybe every time it's fresh, that you have to live, have to. I used to say, no, you don't have to, and still you don't have to. It's always up to you. But I'm going to say have to. You have to live the way you want the world to be. And then it is that way. Mm-hmm. And even though everything still goes on exactly as it goes on today, with all of the confusion and the muck and the lies and the deceit and the beauty and the magnificence, all of it still goes on. That doesn't change, but your world changes and you change the world. And I wonder if you realize how much you influence people without knowing. Well, you can't realize if you don't know, but you do. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to leave that with you. And Madhu, when we started, I asked the assembly here if they had a topic or a point that they wanted to discuss in satsang. Everybody said, no, you have to help me. You have to, well, you don't have to help me, huh? But it's really wonderful when you will send in, write to me and ask for specific topics for transmission and so on. And mostly not too philosophical, not that it reaches outside of your own life. Someone one time asked me to speak about the epinoia of God, which is absolutely a beautiful topic. And yet my only concern, and the only reason I didn't want to go there is because it doesn't touch your life in the way that's necessary these days for you to touch each other, for you to care for each other, for you to have compassion for one another, for you to care for one another, and for you not to take sides. I was just considering the other day how it is people have just, if you don't think like I think, they just don't care for each other anymore. Where was the love in it? Was the love ever there? Or was it hinging on, you say what I want you to say, and then I will love you. And if you say what I don't want you to, well, I've had this experience many times. If you say what I don't want you to say, even though I feel it's important for me to hear, I don't love you anymore. I don't want to be around you anymore. Well, that's not my experience these days, but it is the experience of the world, and it could be my experience unknowingly. So we pierce through with a love that depends on nothing. And I hesitate to use the word unconditional love because it becomes like tin in the ears. It hardly has any power anymore or any potency. But that we pierce through everything in a love that is undying, Absolutely unveiling means taking the veil one up, next, 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 so that we see very clearly. And this love has patience, sometimes has not patience. That's also important. And patience mostly. And feeds the soul immediately is the greatest offering that you can put into consciousness, into anybody's life, and that nothing in this world could change that. Nothing. Nothing. I was considering the other day, and I haven't posted it yet. It's the transmission I'm editing, talking a bit about the sun again. You know, that nature is such a wonderful and pure demonstration of the love of God, the love of the great mystery, the love of totality, the love of the creator, the love of whatever name that you feel heartful to call, and yet you're aware for sure that this cannot be described, it cannot be named, it cannot be known, and yet it's who you are fundamentally. All beings are fundamentally, all beingness, all of consciousness is. Mm-hmm. In Buddhism, they say that it is all the Buddha, that the Buddha's within you. Mm-hmm. So this kind of love. And this is the kind of love you actually want. This is the kind of love you ask for. Love me no matter what. You know? Yes. Okay. I do that. I don't know if I even do it. I don't even know if I can help myself from doing it. I don't even know if it's done. Love becomes so indescribable. Unknowable. And yet, again, back to the sun. The reason it rules the heart is because it shines for everyone purely 100%, no matter if they're on this side or that side, or have this idea or that idea, young, old, good, bad, whatever, any quality that you can find in duality, the sun is shining for everyone absolutely without question and nourishing their lives on earth. So I stop with this, cease. Ceasing is much nicer than stopping. It's like a car coming to a halt rather than stopping. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, Madhu. Madhu said that she was very touched. We'll go to, before I end this, or cease or complete. She said she was very touched by the Ashtavakra Gita, where, what does any of this mean to me? What does any of this mean to me? What does duality mean to me? What does this mean to me? What does anything mean to me? I am sitting in my own radiance. Oh, that's what we're talking about, actually, isn't it? Mm-hmm. This love cannot be cut, it cannot be cornered, it cannot be given, it cannot be taken away. Mm-hmm. It's like the sun shining for everyone, totally, even shining for the moon. Mm-hmm. Regulating birth and death through the moon. Mm-hmm. Regulating crops, giving heat and cool. I mean, it's so magnificent what the sun does. It just does. And I remember one passage where Jesus said, it's so beautiful. He said, if they ask you where you come from, tell them you come from the light. The light, and I believe it mentioned the sun, the light, the sun that appeared all of its own accord. Mm-hmm. Kind of tells something about God, all of its own, uncreated, undying, of its own. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned this the other day, that at the end of that statement, it's so beautiful. And if they ask, what is the proof in your Father and you? You can tell them movement and rest. God meaning, the Father meaning God, meaning that totality which is indescribable, absolute, at all places, at all times, infinite, eternal, undoubtful, inexhaustible, all of life. The proof of my Father in me, to put it in poetic biblical terms, is movement and rest. What proof do you need? So I will go on now to, I forgot how I was going to end it, so we just won't bother. Yes. Well, guess who's here?
Namaste, hello. Guruji. Namaste.
Good?
Yeah, quite good, Guruji. Thank you. So we lost Robin's mum very suddenly on Tuesday. So she had a ruptured aortic aneurysm and was in the hospital on her own. So we couldn't get there in time. So she passed on 20 minutes before we got there. So I'd just like to know if you've got any viewpoints on the time of passing on, actually, whether, you know, if we can choose whether we want our dear ones around us, or as I've heard from someone else say before, that in some cases it's better to go on our own so that we lessen our attachments to the worldly beings around us in our lives. What is your view on that, Guruji?
Well, first off, only the name, the body, and the history are complete now. So that's very important to know, mm-hmm. because you, not as necessarily Ken, or the man that I am looking at, and not necessarily not. This may be a little confusing. I will put it this way. You are not your body, you are not your mind. Things are not as they appear to be, nor are they otherwise. Mm-hmm. Things are not as they appear to be, nor are the otherwise. Lanka Avatara Sutra. It's a very important statement. Mm-hmm. My view is that people pass the way they do, and they disrobe their body, they disrobe their name, they disrobe their history. Mm-hmm. And the last breath is not determined by anyone at all, like the sun that comes into being of its own accord. So doctors will elongate life, put people on life support, and sometimes they come out and live another couple years. But the last breath is determined not by anyone. I don't want to go there, but I'm not going to go there. The last breath is not determined by anyone. Not by you, Dr. Ken.
No, for sure. I totally understand that and totally know that. And we don't know when our last breath is anyway. never knows, yeah.
Right, that's... Never know. And as people, as the person begins to unbutton the robe of body and name, it can be elongated, it can be rewrapped around, but the last breath is never known.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very exciting myself. Indra's mother passed also last week.
No blessings.
The interesting thing about the earth, and not to take it out of the aspect of someone you love, is that there are countless living entities dying every moment and being reborn.
This also leads to my other question, actually, about never born and never dying, or never died. I think what you were saying about never created, was it? Or no, and about what Jesus said, or what you said. Yeah.
Right. That's something to look into.
I can understand about never dying.
But never being born, well, what is
never being created? Die? No, never being created is something that's alien to me.
Well, is a dream created? Or does it just come and go? I would say that the idea of creation gives us stability to change, which is impossible. There's no stability in change. It's like that's what makes it a dreaming. Every moment, like we will think, oh, we've been in this room for an hour and we've had satsang for an hour. But actually, when you really look at it, it's coming and dissolving. And you can't even catch a second. You can't hold it. You can't preserve it. It's always in the flux of change. So change has no root, no reality in the sense of stability. It's like you remember last week when you were talking about these beautiful birds flying through the sky?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they couldn't fly through the sky if the sky was not still space, empty. That was a very beautiful example of what is really true. Creates the illusion of change, but never changes. And that's extraordinary. It's absolutely extraordinary. It's all extraordinary. You're extraordinary. Those earbuds you got in your ears are extraordinary. The striped shirt you got on is extraordinary. The lovely flower behind you, photographed by Shanti Mai, is extraordinary.
Indeed, I love it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a deep look, but it's very simple. It's not at all complicated, and it's not difficult. Mm-hmm. It's really all of space as the stillness that Maya, the movement of life, plays with. Inseparably within. You can't take one away from the other. Maybe the night of Brahman. See, the only reason that you can shake your head and close your eyes is because of empty space. Because of the you understand?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Continue to look at the birds flying through the sky as you did.
Mm-hmm.
And understand understand that emptiness is not lacking anything.
Yes.
It's the great contributor. Hmm? Yeah.
And it contains it all, actually. It contains the totality. Yeah.
That's right. And totality is so quickly changing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just waterfall that you cannot find a root. And that's illusion. And don't be deluded about the illusion.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Be careful not to be in the illusion of life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I say go to your heart. Go to your heart of compassion, of love, of service, of natural kindness, of doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. All very simple, simple guidances. And it'll lead you 100% to where you actually are.
Mm.
And you haven't known. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Kenshui.
Thank you, Guruji. Namaste. Thank you.
You're welcome. Shrita. Your sound is gone. Mm-hmm, there. Namaste. She's on the Ganges. Namaste. Yes.
Namaste. I hope the sound is okay. There's a little wind. I would like to just share the gratitude I feel about the teachings you gave on resolution in relations, because it just helped me so much recently, and there's no more need to spend time on turning these emotions because they can get quickly resolved, and actually it also gives really the passive energy, and I just feel so much gratitude. So I wanted to share this because, yeah, it's on my heart.
I want to hear, it gives what? What did you say? It gives what?
To the other person, the opportunity also to change the energy.
To
change the energy.
Oh, to change the energy, right. But it's always really up to you.
Indeed.
Because it's your life. Because it's your life. They may or they may not. Huh? But if you leave it up to them to change, you're going to be waiting a long time. Because what you want to have change in your life, you're going to have to do it. And that's so wonderful. It just really shows the spiritual skill of bringing forth, you know, clarity and living the way you will. And I feel that this piercing love, I say piercing like the birds flying through the sky, piercing. Not piercing in the sense of pain and suffering and sorrow, but very straight shot, very straight aim of, you know, I don't know. I inside myself, I ask, I sense that, and maybe it's all fantasy, but it's a really good fantasy. And if I have to live it again, I'm going to live it like this. That everything, you know, is listening to my prayer. It's resounding like a molecule through the universe. It's just, and it's so subtle. And my prayer was, many prayers, and they've all been answered, by the way, was that I, whatever I am, would and do and continue to learn about it and continue to see how magnificent it is. This love that will not be diminished by anything, not anything, not a world war, not a political idea, not a I wish you would be this way, not a I wish the world would be that way, not a I'll give you this love if you give me this love, no deals. I love you. And I cannot help myself, and I don't know exactly what it means, but it works beautifully.
It does.
And it's not always a yes, no. It's not always a compliance. Sometimes it's a, you know, a limitation, but that limitation has the ability to move the line. That's the thing. And that does you good. Whether it does anybody else good or not, it will. But whether it does anybody else good or not, this embrightens your soul, so to speak. This love that cannot be divided, cannot be given, cannot be taken away, and is the fundamental nature of everything. Maharaji used to say, God is love. You give Maharaji a great long pranam from Shanti Mai. He'll be happy. You know that picture of Maharaji in his room? Huh? I took that photo on the red chair, the one that's hanging up here. And you can see Shanti Mai in his eyes taking the photo.
I'll have a closer look. Yes.
I like that.
I will give pranam. Much.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
I love
you. Well, thank you too. I love you too. That's easy.
Namaste.
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 So it looks like satsang is finished, unless there's another hand going up. There is. That's Gabriel and Max. How are you?
Namaste, Shanti Mai.
Are you good?
Yes.
Namaste.
I wanted to share something, and thank you for all the talks and all the dialogues you had with people about family.
Mm-hmm.
That was amazing for me to listen. I have
the little world.
Sorry?
The little world. The
yes.
Little world of family.
It's such a huge, it can be such a huge thing,
so
topic.
Incredible.
It's blocking so many emotions and triggering so quickly and automatically. So I could never, until now, raise my hand to talk about family because it was such a mess. I wouldn't have known where to start. But since I have come to satsang and listened and just felt things moving inside of me. I haven't seen my mother in 8 years. I had to count because I can't believe how many years it has actually been. But it's been 8 years I haven't seen her. We have talked occasionally on the phone, which is always very nice on the surface and doesn't touch anything. Just careful. So,
in for a second here?
Yes, please.
When it's nice and doesn't touch anything, it means mother is afraid.
Yes. And she was. So much has changed now. No big things, but something has changed in me that I have called her and told her that I would like to visit her. And I could feel there was an immediate anxiety. Oh my God, what am I? What is expected of me now? Something like that, I imagine. And I told her that I just want to see her. She lives alone now. The house is gone. Everything is gone. The whole situation has changed. She's living alone in an apartment now with other old people around her in apartments, a facility of a kind. And I told her, I just want to see you. I will come. I take care of myself. I always do. I live somewhere. She doesn't need to do anything. She doesn't have to cook. She doesn't have to have cake, nothing. I just want to see her. And I think that came across. And for the first time, I don't need anything from her. I just want to see her. I want to be there, and that's it. Just see how it goes. You know, what you said, the mantra was, we will see, let us see. That is how I go there. And in the end, she said, you know what, now I'm here. Happy you're coming. And she said, now I'm happy. So that was really, really funny in a way. Because she was happy when I told her. First. Yeah.
I'll tell you what I see. Mm. First off, I see you wrapping your arm around your mother at one time or another, either when you meet her or when you leave. This is just what I'm seeing. It doesn't have to happen. Mm. Another thing is, when this is the piercing love. Mm. When you spoke to her and she went, and she rested in her breath unknowingly, just did. Your sincerity went right to her heart. This is what I'm telling to Shrita. It's not up to anybody else to change. It's up to the yogi to change. If they want to, they don't even have to do that either. They can live lifetimes, you know, in suffering and ignorance if they want. And it's not a problem. It's, you know, the world is like that. No problem. And the world is also, well, the people on the earth are also wonderful. Everything is going on here. If you want to see a change, you will have to make it and not expect anything from anyone else.
Yes.
And that is so, isn't that beautiful?
Absolutely.
And this, absolutely. Yeah. And your mother responded to the change in you.
Yeah.
She really did. And go ahead, please.
I'm
just glad to see her.
Yes.
It'll be like nothing you've ever known in your relationship before. And it doesn't have to be big. And I really love what you said about, oh, it's not big, this change that I made. It's immeasurable, really and truly. And it's straight from the heart. And it's reaching across. And it's making a difference. And I don't know that you can call it small or big. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I love it. I love it, Gabrielle.
Yes, me too, Shantimai. I always used to hate to go there until I stopped because I hated it so much. And it was like there was a curse over the whole situation, and I just decided to take the curse off. I'll go to this town and I'll see my mother, and I'll probably see my sister too, who wrote to me, oh, I'm so glad you're coming. So things are moving. And I'm so happy and grateful. You know, I've spent years in therapy talking about how shitty my childhood was. I don't care anymore. I've listened to you and I've listened to everybody else, and I just don't care anymore. My childhood is gone.
And I have a sense also that childhoods, it's become a trend to have a crappy childhood. Yeah. And we all have crappy childhoods.
Yes.
We all have hard times. We all have hard times with our parents. We all have hard times as teenagers. They aren't the best. Of course, your parents are just bringing into life what they know. I always say, he who hurts, he who brings pain onto people have been, you know, have been hurt themselves.
Yes.
And they don't know how to do it. And it's up to you if you want. It's not up to you if you don't want. But if you really want something to change in yourself, you have to do it. And you can't, these expectations of how people respond and how they should respond and how it's got to be and why they're not, just have to be laid to rest. I think it's become very trendy on the planet. And I'm not denying anybody's hardship at childhood. But I think it's become very trendy in the world. And maybe it's true. Maybe there's some truth to that trend. But it seems to me that I rarely hear anyone say that they had really good parents, you know. And my parents, my father adopted me. My mother married him and he adopted me. And he was the most bored person I ever met in my life, really and truly. And I don't really know my mother, but they gave me a roof. They gave me clothes. They gave me so much. I just can't hold anything against them.
Mm.
I want to.
Yes,
I want to. He who hurts has... Go ahead, please.
No, I just want to say I don't want to anymore either. That's it.
Yeah, it takes two, doesn't it?
Yes. And I know there is love. Mm-hmm. I know that. It's not even a hateful person. Not at all. There is love. She just doesn't know how.
This is compassion. Jesus calls it love. Buddha calls it compassion. To understand someone and to pierce through. And I just love you. I don't want anything from you. I don't expect anything from you. I don't know what I love you means, but it's true. And it can never be taken away. There's no deal in this love. This love is the love that encompasses and permeates every grain of sand, every star, every person, just because they are. The world is in a shift. Mm-hmm. You know what I saw the other day, too, is that we're not in labor pains yet. We're still in the development, coming to the birth. We're not there yet. Mm-hmm. I think the labor pains are going to be, well, just prepare ourselves. Whatever is, so let it be. I have you. I have Max. I have Zoom. I have the Sangha right now. What more would I want?
Absolutely.
Why would I like anything else?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Namaste.
Namaste. Tara.
Namaste, Shantimai.
Namaste. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah.
I'm good. Hear that. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, last satsang, I heard and I listened to you, and what I picked up was that I'm attached, and an attachment is there, and I could not figure it out, so I took it like a koan. And afterwards, I just was full of love, and I even don't know what an attachment is in this moment. I felt completely free.
Well, continue. You know, just sometimes just sometimes people come and go. You know, I've noticed that some of my karmas, so to speak, means action, means activity. That's what karma is, purely nothing else. For this movement comes another movement, an equal movement. Sometimes I consider, you know, when people come and go, yeah, that's the time we had. That's it. Now that is complete. And what are you going to do without that drama in your life?
Having a good time.
Yeah. You're never going to make that person do what you want them to do. So why don't you do what you want to do? And may it be good for both of you. May you both win.
Yes.
You know, I remember in here at Christmas time, there was a little bit of a scuffle between two people. Nothing big, just a scuffle. And it had happened before. Just a little blah, 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 blah. The ideas and some of that kind of stuff, grumbling spirits. So as we were looking at it to lay it to peace like a dead corpse, one of the persons who was instrumental in the disagreement started talking about last summer. Now, this is for you. And I said, drop last summer and let's work with it, what's here now. Last summer is last summer. So one of the pivotal points is to just drop the past and stop collecting ammunition and being that you are now in a natural state of, well, openness, love. I would examine that place that you're in now, so to speak, place that you're in now, and see if you really ever want to leave it. And why would you? I mean, I would ask those questions of myself. Mm-hmm. I really would. Because we let these times go way too fast. I'm in a state of love. I in no way am belittling that or saying that what I am saying is that's wonderful, but we let loose of it for the drama very quickly. And we have this idea of preferring the drama, but really and truly we prefer how you are right now. At peace, in a state of compassionate love, and the detachment is a state of love. It's not like, oh, I'm way over here and you're way over there and you can't touch me and nothing like that. It's like, this is love. And I ask you to really examine, because I'm going to repeat that far too often we get into this natural state. It's a natural state. I'm not even sure we call it a state. We do that in spirituality. This is a state, that is a state, the state of this, the state of that. But this is a natural. And to savor this and see the beauty in it and the benefit in it for your organs, for your body, for your brain, for your heart, for your soul. And it's if, no, not if, being that it is like that, you are serving everyone on earth, because this is what you're bringing out of consciousness to consciousness. I would really see, do I ever, ever, ever desire the drama over where I can take a walk in the park and I'm really present there and I'm not thinking like that. And I've never been in the park. I've never been on the walk. I've just been, my feet are walking and I'm thinking about the hardships that I can create or that are created around me or created in the past or will be created in the future. Take a look.
Yeah. So
my view of you is that this is you. Nothing else is you that I've ever seen. This love, this kindness, this generosity of spirit, the smiles, the laughter. This is the Tara that I know. I ignore the other one.
Yeah.
And there's not much of the other, it's not much of the other one left. It's thinning and thinning and thinning.
Yes.
And it is an illusion. Let's remember that it is an illusion. Like a dreaming in the night. Okay.
Thank you. Namaste. Shanti Mahi.
Yashoda and Shimananda, and then we'll close. Namaste. Yeah, I can't sit there. Yes.
Oh, namaste, Shanti Mahi. As you just spoke to her about this keeping this space, you know, when I sit with you, I am I'm cutting totally in my heart, and also with Jamali and whatever. But if I walk in the forest or sit early morning in silence watching my breath, there's only emptiness, and it's so hard to come in this heart. To be in the heart. And you say no practice, and I have the feeling, but I need to do practice. I need to do the heart meditation or the Gayatri Mantra or whatever to come and cultivate, to come in my heart, to make that empty space full of warm presence.
Well, it's good food. You know, Gayatri Mantra is good food. The moments of silence are good food. The walk through the forest is good food. You know, this life is so, I mean, it's utterly impermanent every moment. There's no permanence here whatsoever. Even history we read about, we cannot experience a moment ago or a moment in the next. We come to see that, and it's so impermanent, so fastly spent, that why we don't just go ahead and be here in the way that we truly want to be here, not depending on anyone else, although everything depends on everything, the interdependence of all things. If it wasn't for the earth to spin and the sun to shine, we wouldn't even be here. If it wasn't for water to flow, we wouldn't be here. So there is, it's not an, When I say depend on no one, I don't mean that we don't depend on each other. I mean that we don't depend on anyone else to fulfill for us anything. We must do that ourselves.
The last one?
The mother and the... We must do that ourselves. We can't wait for somebody to say, oh, you're wonderful, to feel that we're wonderful for a moment, rather than really and truly seeing that we are a divine mystery that will never, ever be repeated throughout time and space. When it is done, it is done. So unique are we. Let us design our lives that no one else has to tell us we're good. No one else has to tell us we're bad. We know ourselves inside out. And because we know ourselves and we don't depend on other people telling us, making us right with ourselves, we serve the world to be for that shift that's occurring, actually. Mm-hmm. I feel that we must, you may not feel this, but I'm here given the satsang, so I'm going to tell you how I feel. I feel that we must acknowledge our incredible divine inheritance. Buddha did, Jesus did. And if you think you can't be like them, they came to tell you that you are like them. And when I first met my master, there was never a doubt in my mind that we are not equal. We are well matched. We are well matched. And I have a lot to receive from his reflection. But whatever I received from his reflection was always there in the first place. He just brought the attention to it, which was an amazing event in my life, Maharaji. Live the way that you truly want to live. Did you hear that? And when you don't live that way, don't beat yourself in the head. You know, this is, don't, well, or anywhere else on your body or your emotions. To come out of a mental fixation takes time. Fixation of I'm not good enough, they don't love me, I had a bad childhood. All these things could be true. All of them can be true. But I love. And I am love, and that's it. And that's the way it's going to be. And I'm going to be glorious in it, and I'm going to fail in it, and I'm going to do everything in it. But I'm never going to give it up, because God is love. And it is the way, and it is the brightness, and it is the intelligence, and it is the wisdom, and it is the solution. And it brings everything very, very, very clearly into focus. Softly sometimes, and sometimes very, wow. Whew. So, this is the way I'm going to live, no matter how how long it takes or what it takes. Let it take everything. Let it take all misunderstanding out of my heart. Let it take all hatred away. Let it take all sides away, because they've never been there in the first place. I had to think them up and decide that they were right. And that I'm right and everybody else is wrong. Yeah, crazy way to live. I really am so grateful for what Tara and Gabrielle said about moving into this place where you open up the possibility. I've been saying lately that faith is actually possibility. It's an adherence to possibility. Faith means anything is possible. Anything is possible. I mean, look around you, you know, the world, the earth, the universe. How did any of that happen? So faith is possibility. They run like water and wet together, inseparable.
Don't
be sorry. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm amazed that you talk about all this aspect of what you've been talking about. Because for me, it touches me. And what is that to do with being for me in this emptiness in the forest or in the sitting? You know, if I work, I am in my joy and in my heart, and that's why I work. I love to work, because then it flows and I'm in the heart. But if I go in the silence and in the silent sitting or in the forest, what I did this week, then it's when I don't cultivate anything, then it's empty. Then I don't feel that warmth in my heart.
Be careful about how you're defining emptiness. Emptiness is not lacking anything. All the birds of eternity can fly through the sky of emptiness. Emptiness is not lacking. And when you are not busy and when you are quiet or maybe silent or maybe moving or whatever, but you have that sense of emptiness, be very careful how you're defining it. I wouldn't even define it, because love is empty. It's the greatest emptiness of all. Maybe.
That's helpful. That's very helpful.
We'll say that for this moment. Next week, we may change our mind. So, love is not emptiness does not lack anything. If this cup is not empty, I cannot put the coffee inside. Lao Tzu says, the hole, the emptiness, in the room that makes it useful, which means the doorway, right? It's empty. I don't care what anybody says about what you should or shouldn't. You should look. I get so sick of that kind of thing. It's starting to, you know, in spirituality, they even want you to censor yourself. In Buddhism, there's, I think, 18 kinds of emptiness. The emptiness of presence, I don't know them all, the emptiness of emptiness, the emptiness of, there's 18 of them. But there's a language in that emptiness that is calling you. I would learn to be still in it for a little while and to listen and not to expect to hear a thing, but listen like you would listen to the color yellow in the daffodils. That kind of listening. Mm-hmm. Namaste. Namaste. Thank you. It's not lacking anything. Emptiness lacks nothing. Here's one for you before I go. I was considering this. How far does space go since there is a lacework of galaxies? Does space ever have an ending? And if not for the emptiness of space, nothing would be. You could not move your head this way or that way if it wasn't empty space. It's not to worry about emptiness. Namaste.
Namaste. Thank you.
Thank you, too. Love is not difficult. Compassion is not difficult. Mm-mm. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That would change the world. Mm-hmm. And there is a time of enlightenment that is occurring, and we are in the pregnancy of. And every day it grows. And there will be labor pains. And there will be backaches and waddling like a pregnant woman. There is a shift in consciousness, there's no doubt. Thank you. Nagendra, I will have lunch and then we will have our appointment. So it will be around 1 o'clock, 1:30. Namaste, everyone. God bless you. Whatever that may mean to you, means a lot to me. Om Shri Sache Mahaprabhu Ki Jai, Paramatma Ki Jai, Gurudev Bhagavan Ki Jai, Sacha Sangha Ki Jai.
Om Bhurbhuvasva Tat Savitur Vareniyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Dhiyo Yo Naha Prachodayat. Om Bhurbhuva Swaha Tat Savitur Harinayam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Dhiyo Yo Naha Prachodayat. Om Bhurbhuvasvah Tat Savitur Harinayam Bhargo Deva
vasya dhimahi dhiyo yo na prachodayat. Om Bhurbhu Vasva Tatsavitur Variniyam Bhargo Namasya Dhimahi Diyo Yo Naha Prachodayat. Oh, 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 Gorevasya dhimahi dhiyo yo naha prachodayat. Hey, oh, 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 bur, buvasua, tatsa. Om Bhurbhu Vasva Tatsavitur Variniyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Diyo Yo Naha Prachodayat. Hey, yeah. Oh, 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 oh. Bhurbhu Vasva Tatsavitur Variniyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Diyo Yo Naha Prachodayat. Prachodayat. Prachodayat.
Thank you, Premo. Just a final reminder that today is the last day to sign up for the Gayatri Intensive. If you had intended to do so, the email that you should have is in your inbox and gives you all of the instructions for how to go about doing that. And again, if you have any questions, feel free to email starmediainfo@gmail.com and we can help you out. But look for that email if you intended to sign up. Today is the last day. Namaste, everyone. I'll see you next week. We will see you next week at 5:30 Central European time.